Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence, knowing that the capstone is here in the form of the Holy Spirit. The great word is here in perfection, no other part to be filled in. And we're grateful for that, Lord. And we realize that there's a great fear amongst people of adding or taking a word, but it really should bring tremendous comfort, knowing there's no need to take away, no need to add. It's a perfect word. And we receive it right into our hearts and believe it, waiting for clarity and understanding if it should be afforded to us. And we have to walk in a special light. But Lord, we know we all have enough life, light and life to walk in. Even we just had one tape or a couple of tapes or whatever, Lord. Because this is the measure of grace and truth and power spread forth in the last day. And we thank you for it. May your name be honored, Lord. That's the great thing we desire, to worship you and serve you according to truth, according to a vindicated prophet. To love you, Lord, by loving others, and yet love you in a special way above it all. To serve you by serving others, and yet serve you in a special way above it all, Lord, which is being one with your word in those things that really matter. Help us today that we might progress further to higher plateaus, greater grace, greater light. And those things, Lord, not to just come into because we want to, as though we knew something above another, but it's life to us, even as David said and Brother Branham taught, this is life, and there's no other life outside of it. Nothing shall come back outside this word that was delivered by the Apostle Paul now for 2,000 ages, coming to its full climax. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name, and that way we will be satisfied and happy. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Now, before we get into the message, I just want to say this, that many years ago, as I've told you many times, I used to pray for the sick, and that was the idea of every single meeting, and there was no lack of wonderful manifestations of the highest order and prolific in the meetings, some absolutely outstanding. And I thought this morning, as I look back when I prayed for diabetics with their toes falling off, instant perfect healing, and I'm not lying to you. And I thought, well, God hasn't stopped healing us, Lee, they'll stop praying. Yet I'm not called to the healing ministry. Brother Branham categorically said everybody is not called to pray for the sick. Even as he said, you might prophesy one time, never prophesy again. However, in Brother Branham's ministry, which was vindicated, he never ceased to pray for the sick because he had a gift of healing to take to the world. Now, just making an odd reference before I get back to what I want to read here and go on. When Brother Branham said, Lee, you and I are just alike. And I said, Brother Branham, what do you mean? Well, he said, Lee, I've got a little gift of healing and nobody wants it. And you've got a little gift of teaching and nobody wants it. Now, right away, the question comes up and says, now, just a minute. I think Brother Branham was sort of being nice to you, but he was nice in a way that, not hypocritical, but just not exactly so, because there wasn't anybody who didn't want his gift of healing. Huh? True, but still wrong. Now think with me for 1 minute. Brother Branham said something about his gift of healing. It was his, but he said that. Now, does anybody sit here can tell me? Don't be bashful. Can you remember what he said about that gift? Yeah? What else? Huh? That's right. What else? Huh? Yeah, to a degree. You know what he said? You've got to make it work. And they wouldn't pay the price because they were too lazy. His gift was no gift to anybody unless they made it work. It was their faith. We saw that in Lima High in 57, when there were 50 miracles in 50 minutes. And to my knowledge, that was the first time in 5 years the gift operated and the last time. So, if you turn down anybody's gift on your conditions instead of the conditions given, you're not going to do it. You never make it. Thy ministry is just the same with teaching, yet I pray for the sick. I shall continue to do so, and perhaps by the grace of God even more so. Now, I'm going to read the 118th Psalm before we get into this other, because this really doesn't matter. This is my Bible, these sermons, because they are the Word of God revealed and expanded to the place of utmost and uttermost understanding. So though a wayfaring man be a fool, he need not err therein. But I can skip around as I'm doing this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Now that's in spite of the fact it doesn't look like it. Let the house of Aaron, that's the priesthood, now say, and they lead the people, his mercy endures forever. Pump it into them and make sure they get it and stick with it. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Now then, you wouldn't dare to say something contrary if you feared the Lord. Would you or would we? Now let this sink in. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Now normally we have to be on the Lord's side. But once you get on his side, then he's on your side, right? Oh, sure. Take my yoke upon you. We're hitched up together. The Lord's on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. This man's having a battle. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now we're going up the scale. Now, you know, he goes from princes to the nations. See? All nations encompass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about? Yea, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. But this fellow sounds like a bloody battler, doesn't he? No. He's just like Jesus. Well, you see me do the works, they're not my works. You hear the voice, they're not my words. I'm just somebody God's manifesting through. Now, if God's on his side, and you've got nation, who do you think's doing the killing? Huh. Do you think, like Brother Branham said, Samson took the jawbone of an ass and clobbered those guys with big brass helmets? An old jawbone that was lying there, and you know what a bone's like for many years? You know what osteoporosis is? Well, that's what it looks like. It's a honeycomb. The first time, clump, on somebody's helmet, the bone shatters. No, it didn't shatter. And if God can slay with the jawbone of an ass, what can he do with our jawbones if we're sheep? You can jawbone the devil to death. That's what they have, you know, they have in Congress. They have this, what do they call that when they jawbone each other? Filibuster. You can filibuster the devil from back where he belongs. That's what Jesus did. He didn't fuss. He didn't argue. He even admitted the devil was right. And he said, all these kingdoms I can give you. Didn't want them. All right? They compass me about like bees. Oh, man, they're really buzzing, throwing up a storm. Talk about gossip and everything else. And they are quenched as the fire of thorns. You ever seen a fire go through thorns? And the flame's gone. You have to light another match? It's just boom, boom. Flash fires. Flash in the pan. You'll never get any people who live in the glare to ever defeat the people of God who live in the glow. For in the name of the Lord I'll destroy them. This guy's tough. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord help me. The Lord is my strength and song. Sing yourself in spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts. And has become my salvation. Notice, is become. It wasn't that he always wasn't. He always was his salvation. But at this point, he and God have got together. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. All right? How much rejoicing have we gotten singing? The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Remember, he's on the right hand. You're looking here that everything God does through his Son. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. All right, now watch. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not stay sick but get better even instantly and tell how God did it. Now, here's something in here. This is where God deals with us as children to make us know the value of character and the Word in our lives as we bring ourselves under the chastening rod, which is the Word. The Lord had chastened me or taught me sore, but He has not given me over to death. I'm even sick to the point where I've got depression and have no energy, but that doesn't mean a thing. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. That's like, can't wait for the church door open. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Remember, there's only one gate, praise God, His name. And we're in that gate. You know that because there's only one place He's going to have His name, and that's in His Word. And remember, His name, the name of God revealed, is the Word revealed. The name of God is the Word revealed. You're right in there. Remember, the inheritance of us, the bride, is His Word in the bride. When you inherit the Word, what have you got? That which creates and maintains. That which instructs, brings us down low, and exalts us within the soul. That's why John could say, I would wish above all else you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And there never was a people with prosperous souls like we are, in a rich age like we are. So, all right. Now notice, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Watch. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Capstone is here, headstone is here. 118 Psalm is ours. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Now up here you're praising for what God has done in the physical. All these things are great. But the marvel is that the capstone came down in the form of the Holy Spirit with the capstone message and revealed it to us. And this is the marvelous things, and people simply can't understand it. Why our joy and rejoicing and our marveling lies in this.
Well, hey, I've got Jesus here. He's here, so what?
You know one thing that really scares the daylights out of people? Is to get caught by a cop and brought into court. Yeah. Left and right hand. And he said, you didn't even do it. Completely righteous, not imputed. The bride is washed, not just in the blood of the Lamb, but by the washing of the water word, and her garment had neither spot nor wrinkle, and she's all glorious within and without. So, well, I wish I were. You are. You got to believe what he said. You got to believe it. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous and nice. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Brother Branham doesn't quote that, but you're going to find it if we get time to read it this morning. Who knows? Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessing. All that comes with it. Put your armor off. Take it ease. Abraham, the battle's over. Sit down and have communion. Closing hours, Melchizedek revealed. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible also tells us that he's blessed who comes in the name of the Lord, the one which God has sent. Do you think Brother Branham was sent by God? Well, that's for us. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. In other words, when this prophet comes with the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, you know that this is the one with the blessing. Not the one with the left hand of cursing, but the one with the blessing. Right coming, and the first thing he does, he judges his own house. And he puts it in order by giving them the word. And then he said, well, I've avenged you, you're exonerated. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. In other words, the very covenant is bound. Guarded by cherubims. Kept watched by God himself. The pillar of fire. In other words, it's bound. It's completed. The seals that were taken off are now put back upon the bride. And no one will come into her. Now, I'm just using that a figurative way, you understand. There's no scripture for what I'm saying. But when you're sealed with the Holy Ghost at the end time, and God himself has sealed you in, like Brother Branham spoke of the boxcar, the seal is upon you, and it cannot be broken until the destination, you arrived at the destination. So the seal is there, but just watch how you take it. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee.
Not just praise, but make him big. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I thought that was very, very appropriate. And it is. You can understand. Once you see this message, that's all you'll see in this word. All right, we're into number four this morning for a while on things that are to be in this message, as in every message. We see Brother Branham, who in every other message, either directly or in a roundabout way, even in a hinting manner, point us to a special message from God in this hour, with he himself, William Branham, vindicated to bring it as a messenger of the hour, as in Revelation 10:7 and Malachi 4:5-6. Right? In this particular message, he points out that this is very reasonable in the light that as Noah's message could not work in Moses' time, and Moses' message could not work in Jesus' time, and the Catholic message could not work in Luther's time, nor Luther's message for Wesley, nor Wesley for the Pentecostals. And now, believe it or not, the Pentecostal doctrine will not work in this hour, especially when you see two groups of Pentecostals, each claiming to be correctly baptized in water and full of the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues, identifying therefore the baptism. Yet one group is Jesus only, and the other Trinitarian, and both believing in the latter rain and yet fighting each other. Their message is dead like Wesley's and Luther's. But will they believe the message for this hour and move on with it? It is up to them. Now remember, as Moses was a historian by divine revelation, and Paul did not need to be because he had all the Old Testament. He didn't need to be. William Branham has become the historian, and people don't want to believe it. They will contradict him that he made a mistake. Everybody wants Polycarp, and he said God said to him that Polycarp was more prone to organization than was Irenaeus, though if you put one against the other, you with your human eye will go for Polycarp every single time, and so would a Brother Branham. Historian. That's why he can look back on what was in the seven church ages, pick out the messengers, and tell you infallibly exactly who they were and how every single time the Word of God moved on. Now, on page 4, Brother Branham makes his oft-repeated and incredible statement that as Jesus bore record of the Word of that hour, in that epical season, making the Word live for that day, even so in this hour is God bearing record of His Word by vindication and making the Word of this special season live, as He has always done. And this winds down the seven church ages. Now, from last night, I just repeat on page 4, paragraph 14. Now, we know that this is the day of salvation. And that's exactly true. It's a day of salvation until every single person is baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's every elect, every true son, child of God, and child trained. Even as Irenaeus said, when the last elected member comes in, he will come. And Brother Branham, being a prophet, amended it. And he said, child trained. In other words, the adoption of this hour goes plumb into the resurrection. Not missing a heartbeat or one moment. Now, we know that this day, this epical season, day, is the day of salvation, where God is calling men from the world from a life of sin, that's unbelief, unto a life of service. Now, Brother Branham said, you cannot worship God or serve Him outside of a prophet. Where does it leave the people sitting there? Where does it leave us sitting here? Are we fully convinced? I want to not hurt anybody. I want to drop a bombshell. Now, you know I love Brother Jack Bell, and I love his people there. There was especially a very young couple I got to know. And as I recall, their name was Martin. I know nothing derogatory about it. That just happened to be their name. She was the prettiest, sweetest little thing. And I think she was about 30 and looked about 16. I could not believe that she was as young as she was.
She gave the incredible story how that she had these perpetual headaches, perennial headaches, and how she was feeling so bad and knew she could get no relief until she got to a certain church where they'd pray for her. Now, I think I'm giving you the story fairly correct, but the end results are 100%. They passed the church. She said, this is it. They went in there. She got healed. They stayed with the church for years. He became the head deacon, or at least one of the deacons in the church. They were there for years. I loved them dearly. The people loved them dearly. Suddenly, one day, gone with the wind. The next thing, they were divorced and living in sin. People in Grace Gospel Church this morning, listen to me. Don't sell your soul. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a fool. Parents, don't listen to your children. Husbands, don't listen to your wives. Wives, don't listen to your husband. My wife knows before God, I raised my hand, this Bible opened before me. I said, if I start missing it, you go your way. Don't you miss it. And in my home, my wife cannot turn my head. You may think, because she talks quite a bit of times, and she doesn't turn my head. You've been in my home, some of you and I, when she has talked out of turn, and I said, Allison, shut up, keep quiet. You have nothing in this matter. I'm not mean and hard. I want you to notice something. You will meet me, and I will meet you down that road. How many years? I don't know. He said 100, 50, 25, 10, maybe yet tomorrow. It wasn't tomorrow. It wasn't in 10. It wasn't in 25. It could go to 40. It could go to 50. But this message alone has life. Don't fool with it, because it will fool with you. God being my judge, it'll destroy you. Serving God. Not without a prophet, you cannot do it. Brother Branham also preached, doing God a service apart from it being His will. You think in the days of Noah they were 100% heathen except for those 8 people? You say, well, yes, in a way. That's true in a way. Could there have been foolish virgins? Absolutely. I don't know. They'd been drowned if they were. But I'm trying to show you this. There's only one way you can know that you're doing God a service, and that's by His Word. There isn't any other way. And the tragic thing is, as I find a Pentecostal spirit, because I was in Pentecost, I find it even now, that it can tear me apart, that I can be fishing for some unknown will of God that I hope is there, when I don't even look at this will of God that's right here in this book. I've been thoroughly explained to me. Now, these people here were talking about doing the will of God. The women with their fuzzy hair, their ear bobs, their slacks and everything else. Because they could talk in tongues and wiggle across the platform. Yes, I've seen the high heel flusies going back and forth. Sex bait. I love women, but I don't love the things women do any more than you women who love men love the things that men do. Women are beginning to avenge themselves against the men. Not only avenge, that's a wrong word, revenge themselves. You know, one day the bride's going to be out of here, and she'll be at revenge down here. You keep in mind what you read in the newspapers and what you know to be true, and you know you can read between the lines, because I sort of want to promise myself to be very careful what I say. A life of service. Anybody that tried to bypass the Word of God was severely judged. And there will be judgment in this world according to the Word of God by one Christ Jesus who rose from the dead, and we have the proof that He's risen, because the same God that did the works in Him before He died is here right now in the form of the Holy Ghost and the pillar of fire, and has done the works through a prophet called Elijah the prophet, according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Now, Brother Branham also says here, not only doing God a service, I forget the other sermon, but I want to take you back here to the book of Revelations, and we're going to read very carefully that you may know more and more and more what we're talking about. In the second chapter, as in the next chapter, it starts out, I'm the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus, the one that's in the midst, the judge says, I know thy works and thy labor. Eighth verse. The same one. I know thy works and thy tribulation. 12th verse. The one of the sword, I know thy works. 18th verse. The eyes like flames, feet of fire. I know thy works. The third chapter. The one that has the seven spirits. I know thy works. Over there to the 14th and 15th. The amen. I know thy works. Now, the church has always been industrious. But their industry has always been to build them up instead of worship God and put Him forward. Perhaps the greatest compliment I ever received in my life was from Brother Branham when he said, Lee, he said, you always put me forward. No other person, he named this type of people there that ever did it. You can't find one sermon where I talk about myself or somebody. It's always pointed to him and his prophet. He said, I know your works. We are a workhouse people. We want works. We always want to add to things. But there are people who do the works of God because it is according to Scripture. And you notice that those works are connected with things like patience. But in the last day it says, I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. An arrogant, filthy spirit is upon the last day church. And Brother Branham says, I'm come here to redeem you from your dead works, your arrogant spirit, and the works which are going to come against you on the day of judgment because you're doing God a service apart from His will. What does it say here? I know thy works, and you're neither hot nor cold. You're vomit material. What do you usually drink to make you vomit? Tepid water. If that doesn't work, put a bit of soda. That'll bring your boots up. Not hot, not cold. Tepid. Lukewarm. He said, you nauseate me. And I can understand that. He said, I know your works. Behold, I set before you an open door. That sounds good. God opened the door. They walked through. But you know what? They walked too far. They got tired of carrying the word. So they carried their creeds and dogmas, which are much lighter. He says, I know thy works. You've a name that you live, but you're dead. Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals. The very name that you bear is not a living name because it is not the name of God revealed through the word. These things we see. And Brother Branham is telling us in this last hour. Now listen, let's get this flat. The owner... the husbandman of a great field. He said, I got a crop that needs taken care of. He went to the city in the first hour, and he said, come on, I'll give you a penny a day. And they put him out there, and they weren't doing fast enough. He went to the city, he said, come on, give you a penny a day, come on out. He went on till the very last hour, and he said to the last laborers, I'm going to give you a penny, come on out. Well, the ones that worked the first of the day say, hey, this is incredible. We've worked here for all of the 12 hours, you're giving us a penny. They work 1 hour, you're giving them a penny. He says, shut up and sit down. It's my money. You offered, you came. You did it. What are you griping about? You entered a contract. Now that's a little point right here. You want to know this one thing. And to me, it shows, listen here, when the church enters a contract, you're going to have to stick to it. God's going to demand that which He had put forward in these contracts and said, this is what you're going to get. In other words, we're looking at a God who positively judges according to His own words and His own standard. As Paul said, can the vessel say to the thing that formed it, the one that formed him, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not God in His own power the ability to make a one lump of clay, vessel to honor, vessel to dishonor? Did He not say in His own word, Pharaoh, I've raised you up from a common lump of clay, common humanity, that I might show my wrath and my power, and yet show my greatness and my goodness and mercy through Moses? God does what He wants. So you notice right here, Brother Branham is trying to set the record straight. The people in Laodicea don't have any works. No. Not to present to God. Lukewarm, sleazy. Dead, dry chaff. No life. Pretending, having anointing, passing it off as the baptism. And can't even recognize the prophet. He said, I know your works. He doesn't even say one good thing. Not one acceptable work. You know why? Because they're off the word, trying to do God a service apart from his will. Oh, the other sermon, does God ever change his mind about his word? Never. So here's what he's telling these people. Why do I know he's telling them? Because that's what he's always told them. He comes up blunt, flat-footed, or he hints, or he nudges around. Huh? You ever seen a mother cow try to get her calf up by pushing with her nose? Brother Branham tried that all the time. He couldn't get the church to stand on his feet no matter what he did. And yet, Mr. Hicksey dead now. He had this great vision of the church all bound down with little tiny, little threads upon the eyes and all, little dwarf guys around, and the church going to rise with a mighty thrust, the great church take over the world. He had a vision of the Roman Catholic Church empire and destruction. When was the Church of God ever an immobilized giant? It was a woman! Either virgin and virtuous, or she turned into a slut. And the Pentecost, great, 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 great. Where do you get works out of that? Come on, tell me. Where do you get works that don't line up with the Bible? I wish we had time to get where I want to go. We're not, but I'll cover it, don't worry. Now listen. And in the day that God has poured out his Spirit from on high. Now in the day. Now the qualification is, what day? The day that God has poured out his Spirit from on high. That day, great signs and wonders are to accompany the ministry of this day. The ministry of this day. What is Brother Branham's ministry? To declare that he is here. You mean to declare that he is here and he doesn't do the same works that he did 2,000 years ago? That the same God that was in him is now dead? That this one is after all not risen to see the word fully performed? John 14 and 12. Well, they say, that's for anybody. Hallelujah, that's the church. See, look. Thank God we know better. The ministry for this day. What is this day? That day. When the word is fulfilled that announces the mighty signs and wonders. This day is that scripture fulfilled. See? Now notice, Brother Branham does not actually quote scripture concerning this great day in which he is involved with his ministry. But you can go back to the book of Acts, the second chapter, which we'll do. And in there we'll begin to see the truth. And Paul, and on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose. You can be drunk with the Spirit. Seeing is but the 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, will come to pass on the last day, saith God. I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams, on my servants. Huh? My handmaids. I'll put it part of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You're going to see two groups of people doing the same thing. And the difference is a razor blade. The two spirits are so close. Because the anointing is 100% genuine upon both. But one has the wrong word. Notice what God says at that time, what he will do. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on earth beneath, blood and fire and smoke and fire and vapor smoke. The sun turned into burning, into darkness, the moon to blood and so on. Before that great and notable day of the Lord come. He comes right back here and destroys it all after the great tribulation. And it'll come to pass, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Brother Branham says right here, he said, calling men from a life of sin unto a life of service, unto a life of salvation. So salvation and service is the same thing. Life of salvation, life of service. Doing what God wants by his word. And Brother Branham says that great ministry, when God begins to do these things, precedes the great tribulation. And we know, therefore, if there is a great ministry, we have to be in that day just before the resurrection, rapture, and all of those things. Now, the day of his ministry. This is when the former and latter rain are falling together.
How do you know? Because the day of his ministry has brought forth these mighty signs and wonders. The former and the latter rain, falling together. Let's go to some scripture. Zechariah, the 10th chapter, and in verse 1, ask ye of the Lord, rain, that's ordinary rain. In the time of the latter rain, that's the harvest rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them rain and showers of rain to every one grass. Now you got a picture here that's physical and spiritual. See? Ask of the Lord rain. In the time of the harvest rain, the Lord will send bright clouds, showers of rain, to give every one grass of the field. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. And Brother Branham said, there's no great one amongst us, but he himself who is God, the Holy Spirit, leading us in the pillar fire to the millennium. No great bishop, no great pope. Why do so many men rise up then and try to take this message and make themselves great? I'd like to know. Why are they doing it? They won't even come to the word. Joel. I just asked the question. I'm not going to get answered, of course. The second chapter in verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, that's a bride, and rejoice in the Lord your God. New Jerusalem, see? For he hath given you the former rain, the teaching rain moderately, and will come down for you the former rain, that's the teaching rain again, and the latter rain in the first. And they got the word month there, and that word should not be there. That's a guess. He's talking about how it came at the beginning, at the first. In other words, the teaching rain is given again, as Brother Branham brought out under the law of Moses, that Deuteronomy was the law given the second time, the word given the second time, and as Bunyan brought out, it was entirely grace where the first was condemnation. In other words, at the end time, the teaching rain does not have any condemnation for the bride. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians. Beg your pardon, 2 Thessalonians. First chapter. And you their trouble rest with us, and the Lord Jesus shall rebuke from heaven his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Pauline gospel, who should be punished for the ever and after destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, starting right now. They turned him down, he's turning them down. Malachi 4 runs right through. It started. You can't stop it. Things that are to be are now. White throne. Rapture. Everything. Glorification. Now, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So it tells you right there. And you go over again to the second, he said his testimony. But what was Paul's testimony? What was his word? It was changed in the first century. Another Jesus, another spirit, another word. By the time it gets here, all God can do is vomit. And they're telling you, hey, listen, I want to tell you, we speak in tongues, that's in the word. Oh, we give to missionaries, that's in the word. We win souls for God, that's in the word. We got all these things, have you? The Bible says, forget it. Well, Brother Bale, that doesn't make sense. Who said it made sense? It's a paradox. It's always a paradox. All right, Joel. As in the first. And notice it says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And it said, don't you touch the wine and oil. No way. We're in that hour. Joel, the sixth chapter. Joel 6, and there's no such thing. What is it? Maybe it's Amos 6, I don't know. We miss it, it's all right. Now, let me see. Maybe it's 3 and 6. Oh, I missed that one. But it's in here, I'll find it later on. Made a wrong note. Now he says here, this is when the former and latter rain are falling together. Great signs and wonders are going to be here. And remember, it's got to be to the point of conviction. It cannot be, as you go back in history and say, well, during this age that was there, and this age that was there. You've got to go back to the first age and come full turn to Ephesus, where Paul had vindication and William Branham has vindication. There's only one way, that's Deuteronomy 18. Now he says, and we know that they're supposed to be, he repeats, great signs and wonders, which in many denominations, this is turned down. Now, come on. Learn to put it together. And don't let your mind go any direction, but what is supposed to be sealed in by the cement of Almighty God and nailed down with the nails of God. What is this man talking about? He's talking about his own ministry. Right? Thank you. What does it mean then? He said the churches don't want it. They've turned down at the time of the former latter rain. And the latter rain, as Brother Branham said, you have seen the word of God manifested in power, but you have not yet seen it manifested in revelation. And that took place under the seven seals to perfection. Proving every single time the prophet was in God, step with God and from God, with thus saith the Lord, the mighty manifestation of Genesis 18, where Abraham was before the tent, and God with him and Sarah in the tent, and lapping up her sleeve and lying. Boy, she got shook. One day the bride's going to get shook down too. The Bible says everything that gets shaken down is going to get shaken down. There's only one thing that can't get shaken down. The word of the Lord endures forever. The great denomination turned it down. What did they turn down? They turned John 14 and 12 down. John 14 and 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do in greater works than he shall do because of going to my Father. They said, ha ha, there you are, extensive great works, wonderful, extensive. The whole church is doing it, hogwash, one man's doing it. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Then don't believe it. Who says? Who says you've got to believe it? The prophet declared it. So now these whippersnapper Pentecostals come behind, and they talk with all their signs and wonders, and follow me, follow me. You ought to go to Edmonton and find that one. You almost laugh your sights sore. Edmund is a great place to have fun. Poor old Terry. I feel sorry for him. Pray for him every day. That's a great place. That's where you know who came from. But I'm very thankful for these open doors that I've gone, had to go into, and the inspiration is given to young men like your pastor here. That's caused them, and well, in other words, it's directed them to follow where God wants them. Because of vindication which cannot be turned down. How many were there? Don't ask me. As I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered and know now that these men, young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord if he doesn't come in my generation. Sweep it on. What's it mean to sweep something? Push it. And you know what? When you're pushing something, if you're a clean sweeper, you won't leave a little bit behind. Put it under the rug, and you won't say, I wonder if I can get some more dirt on this pile. Or you're just too happy to make a clean sweep, right? Don't add a word and don't take a word. They're going to make a clean sweep. They're going to sweep it right on. Like sweeping up the grain. Sweeping up the chaff. Cleaning the garner. Well, they're going to make a clean sweep, all right. If they stay with the word. If he doesn't come in my generation, which I'm hoping to see him, I daily look for him and watch, keeping myself prepared for that hour. Like the Bible said, watch and pray. You don't know what hour the Son of Man comes. Now, he says, if he doesn't come in my generation, you know something? I'm in Brother Branham's generation. I'm only 5 years younger. So who knows? As Paul said, what's to stick around? In the 13th, 15th article, paragraph. Now, let us speak to the author before we read his book. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we're grateful to thee to be alive tonight. Live, die, sink, or swim. To return back to this great city. Talk about L.A., because that wasn't the big city. Sitting there in the panoramic here at the mountains, looking up and watch. I love Brother Branham's poetic sense of beauty. Seeing the snow and the orange blossom blooming at the same time. What a magnificent world you've given us to live in. And how that we see that man's disturbed. That's the creation. Enacted in this world. That's his physical. To make us ashamed of ourselves. It makes us ashamed of ourselves, Father. We are here tonight to try to put forth our efforts. To try to cause men to see this great thing that God has done. What thing God has done? This day. Bringing a prophet on the scene. A man like Moses. A man like Paul, to see the very God of heavens come down to stand upon this earth as ever he did and declare himself to mankind. Stand right there and prove it. Can you think of anything greater? Huh? I'm going to tell you something. Let me be honest with you. I was a Pentecostal for years. I did not particularly enjoy the things I went through. But I thought, well, if this gets you somewhere, hallelujah. I was the old opinion. I thought like Pentecostals, if somehow there was a shouting spirit tonight and we felt the glory of God, all we had to do next day was come and shout the same old shout and wiggle the same old wiggle, jump the same old jump. Rose, you're laughing. You were trapped in that stuff too? Congratulations, you got out. Yes, I have come to this conclusion. I do not know that I can put my hand on one phenomena or experience that I can really credit God. It could have all been the devil. Now that'll jar you. The bread, the tail, your brother, sister, yourself. I'm honest. How much of God was in your spiritual leapfrog there, Lloyd?
It was fun, no wonder.
Oh, yes. Great for getting rid of inhibitions. Hey, we can have a poke and a hoedown, get rid of our inhibitions. You can go further, dance with somebody else's wife and join the key club. I'm being nasty now, aren't I? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Don't talk to me. I know all about Pentecost and the dark prayer rooms and everything else. And my wife will tell you about a woman who went insane because she was living as a wife to the man she married and another man at the same time. And they said it's okay. And it got to her. She went radically, violently insane. Come on, Allison, where are you? I'll let her up and testify. And she's sitting in the tub when they tried to calm her down. Her big black hair going back. She starts speaking in tongues. Hoof, hoof. And pretty soon the water splash everything. She'd take off like a rocket. You can't. Even Menninger said, Dr. Menninger, one of the finest psychologists in the world, said, you cannot have sin playing along your nerve lines and be well. How can you get rest when you're in sin? Huh? How can you enjoy the Word of God and be a trumpet Christian if you dig a ditch for someone else to fall in or put temptation in somebody's way? I'm taking the lid off this morning in a nice way. I want to tell you the truth. Are you stumbling somebody? Do you know what you're doing? I'm going to tell you. You're going to die for it. You will die for it. As there's a God in heaven, you will pay a price. That's right. I know people. I know what goes on. I've been in churches for many years. I'm not 79 and a half years old for nothing. At least I hope not. All right. What a magnificent world. It's been disturbed. We're ashamed, Father, that this is in our day. We are here tonight to try to put forth our efforts, to try to cause men to see this great thing that God has done and know that there's something greater just beyond. Listen, this great thing, right there's a picture and everything it entails. That is merely God courting favor to get you into his chambers. You talk about a rich man going to the prettiest girl in town and saying, listen, honey, you may like that guy over there, but I'm the guy that can really take care of you. That's the way it was with Eliezer. He said, I'm here for my master, master's son. I want a girl like you to marry him. And I want to tell you, he's got wealth like you can't believe. And you talk about a man that's really got it. He's got it. He's a marvelous, marvelous boy. He's just not only a wonderful rich kid, but he's a wonderful child, wonderful young man. The apple of his mother's eye and his father. And I want to tell you, he won't go wrong. And he just began shelling out the jewels. And you know what? She wasn't any dumb bunny. No. She said, now just a minute. If this guy is everything he says, and this is the proof that he's got the finances and all these things here, he's got an evidence. Oh my, what will it be to be his bride? And there you are. There you are. That's like the engagement ring. I've come down to put a ring on your finger. And I'm proving I got the ring. Thus saith the Lord.
And the ring is a signet, a seal. God sealed us in with his own ring, the Spirit of the living God.
Now, he says here, we are here tonight to try to put forth our efforts to cause men to see this great thing that God has done and know there's something greater just beyond. He just preached that in Yuma, the conditions of the rapture. He tells you right here. I'm not guessing. He tells you that when we get along to it. May we look to that tonight, Father, as we turn into your word and read it. We can read it, Father, but let the Holy Spirit reveal it to us through the revelation. What revelation? His. That God gave him. Like Paul. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you'll notice that Brother Branham here is using the thought of Paul. As Paul was subject to God to bring the revelation, so was William Branham. No difference. Remember, William Branham told me it's right on the tape. See, we haven't had the pillar of fire that was on Moses for 2,000 years since the time of Paul till now. He put himself with Moses and with Paul and now making the three. And you can say and do what you want. He will meet you at the white throne. I will meet you at the white throne and we will find out. I said, well, maybe there's no white throne. That a fact. How can you prove it? This proves there is. Don't give way to folly, brother, sister. It's too late in the day. Bring yourselves together, your families, and everything else, and serve God. I would to God I'd have had this chance when I was your age, with my family, that you've got listening to me, bringing you the pure, unadulterated word of God of a prophet, and weaving it back and forth, and showing every single point is consistent with everything he ever said. He never changes his thoughts. Now let's return to John 4, chapter 14. A very familiar scripture that we want to read tonight to draw from this a context, the Lord willing. Nearly all, now listen. Oh, you talk about a blunderbuss. You talk about a cannon that went off, and they didn't even know it went off. And the women with their short hair and their floozy up, representing the church of the devil. Remember the vision Brother Branham had of the Seventh Church Age Church? The church of the world? She had a hula skirt on made of dirty paper. She couldn't even afford to have a decent hula skirt. Showing her vulgar parts. And pridefully jigging and dancing. Exposing herself. Rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. Hallelujah. We speak in tongues. We have these devils cast out. We have this and we have that. So did Judas. Judas' name was taken off the book of life. You know why he had his name in the book of life? Because Israel was made up of 12 distinct tribes. Well, one tribe was cut in two to make two, and Aaron separated, but there was 12. Everyone had a genealogy, but all Israel is not Israel, but the names are in there. Name was taken out. Your name on a church book instead of the book of heaven? I won't argue the point. I leave my point rest. Now he says, nearly all know this. It seems many times to be used in funeral services. California, I'm preaching your funeral service. What's life to one is death to the others. If there's an old saying that said one man's meat is another man's poison. Left hand, right hand, left hand. Come to me, depart from me. Come to me, depart from me. But you gotta come by him. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all gonna walk by the prophet William Branham, too. Hallelujah. I like that. That brings it down to my size. If there ever was a time I'd like to preach a funeral service, it'd be to this world. He preached it. I indict this generation. In 1956, I no longer pray for America. She's done finished. 1956, there's a pope going to come out of America. You better believe it's the Antichrist. You don't have to believe it. I believe it from chapter 13. I'm not saying Lee Dale is right. That's just my understanding. I really believe a pope's going to come out of America. Will it be Bishop Wall? Did anybody find out if his name is W-H-A-L or W-A-L-L? W-H-A-L is German, isn't it? That would sound pretty good, W-H-A-L. Because the face of the man was in Germany under Luther. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. If there was a time I'd like to preach a funeral sermon, he did it. Now then, why does he say it?
Let it die and be born again. Now you tell me, what is going to die and be born again? He just talked about it up here. Oh Lord, this beautiful earth of ours. Church is purged. Israel church. World earth is purged. Not the heavens at this time. That's later on. When they flee away. Can't hide. No place to go. Can't be populated. Dissolve it into steam and bring it back again. Now, let it die and be born again. Now watch. Not the subtlety. Oh, but how clever. John 14, 1 through 7.
Hey?
Now, let the earth be born again. And William Branham has a part in it. By the message that he brings. Because the second book of Peter, as well as the first Peter, refers distinctly to the second coming of the Lord and all that goes with it, as does the two books of Thessalonians and so on. In 2 Peter 3rd chapter, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. See? What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy behavior and godliness? Well, how in the world do I know? Unless someone can prove to me what I'm supposed to be. And Brother Branham came back and said, now the seals are open. Everything there to put you in a rapture. Well, so-and-so said so-and-so. I don't care what anybody else said. Brother Branham said it's all on the tapes. To put us in the rapture. Did he or did he not? And what do you care? Anything else? Just live good Christian lives. You know what that means? Peace in the valley. Peace on the mountaintop. Peace in the plain. Right where you are. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. All's well with my soul. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Born again. We come out of the dust, we're born again. There's two kinds of born again. Like Jesus was begotten more than one time. Begotten of the Father, he came forth as that light, and all he was a part of God. No problem. Everybody stumbles over that. What's the stumble? They go around and say, I'm a part of God. I'm a part of God. Oh, come on. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You claim that and then you can't see the rock and say, well, there's two gods in because they're two persons. Let's have a little test for a minute. Oh, I won't. I won't. I won't do that. See? All right. Let it die and be born again. Remember, Brother Branham said, nothing outside this message will come to light. And remember, this message, as it was with Moses, brought a death plague. Brother Branham said, the death plague of this hour is the second death, and he took it from Malachi chapter 4. Right, he said, we are white throne, because he said, see, this fire leaves neither root nor branch. How then can you say there's an eternal hell? The very people screaming eternal hell to try to scare somebody into heaven are liars. Because there isn't any eternal hell. And those that believe it have a problem. All right. Here is what he reads. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God. You notice he put that past tense. You said you did. You believe in God. Believe also in me. If you can believe in God, sure you can believe in me. Tell me what God did do that I'm not doing. See? You talk about creation. Nobody denies it. There it is. Now what kind of a God did the creating? Well, a God of variety. Oh, that's very true. But he's also quite a person to work with. Because today the skies are beautiful, the lake is calm. The next day, Galilee is torn up with a storm, and 20 people die. What kind of a God is that? Take away the breadwinner. Take away the husband. Take away the father. Leaving them helpless. Well, tell me, what kind of a God is he? He just said, you know God by nature. I can see you don't. Yeah. Believe in me. Where am I failing to do what you expect God to do? In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, how could how do we know where you go? How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Oh, boy. And Brother Branham said, what did he say? You're looking at me, aren't you? That's kind of frost people, doesn't it? That separates the men from the boys, the believers from the unbelievers. Huh?
Look at him, God.
Oh, you self-righteous, indignant, puffed-up toad, you. If you don't know where you're coming from and where you're going, you just think you do. Said, may the Lord add his blessing to his word. And we want to refer it again as time goes on. Well, we speak a little lesson to the church. Last evening I was in Yuma, Arizona, see? Where my home is now. That's Arizona, not Yuma. It was in Tucson. When I was here before, I lived in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And now I've been in Arizona by a vision sending me there a few years ago. And remember, that's infallible. And we reside there now. I don't have any church there. Brother Green or Brother here with us has established a tabernacle, one of the Assemblies of God churches, downtown assemblies were. They merged, and I think they went with Brother Brock and with Brother Gilmore and left the church door open, and Brother Perry Green with Texas moved in and took the place, which is an associate with us. We're glad to know that. Brother Green has reopened this church. That was quote. And last night, speaking in Yuma over the Christian businessman, I spoke on the subject of the rapture. Now, that might have been a strange subject to speak at a banquet, but most everyone there was a Christian. And that's the way it is on these campaigns like this or in some church. Every hand would go up, you're a Christian. Now, the question is, what brand? Trinity? Oneness? Two-ness? You know, what are we talking about? See, Christian just means Messiah. You believe in Messiah. In other words, you believe in the deliverance. And so we're Christians. I think we ought to be kind of notified ahead. Now, he's telling us, if we're Christians, we ought to be notified ahead. And don't just guess at it. We're notified what our destination will be. And I'm saying here, if you're a Christian, tell me, why are you a Christian? What do you hope to get out of it? Now, you just can't put into something all the time. You expend all your resources, get nothing back. You can die from starvation, a multimillionaire, if you can't get your money out. Now, you're a Christian. You're putting in something. There's an input. God's putting an input in you. What does God get out of us? What do we get out of him? Right? It's a business deal. It's a covenant. It's an oath. You do this, I'll do that. I'll do this, you do that. Right? He said, what's coming? What do you expect to get? Shouldn't you know? We just don't have to guess at it. We're notified what our destination will be. In other words, Brother Branham is telling you about his ministry. He's here to confirm the bride. He's here to tell the Christian. He's here to say, listen, I'm telling you, bank on it, rest on it. If God told me to go and raise Abraham Lincoln, in spite of the fact that there's nothing mentioned in Scripture concerning a resurrection, I will go down and raise him. Oh my. Well, that's because he's bluffing, you see, and no one would ask him. How about the Church of Christ man that bluffed in Detroit? He'd written all his diseases on a piece of paper. He said, didn't you read the paper? Brother Brown said, nothing wrong with you. Well, he said, did you read the paper? He said, sir, I don't have to. He said, you could have been here with all the diseases you say, and you just believe God and you got healed. And he said, Brother Brandon said something. I forget what he said. And the guy said, oh, that's how he does it. What'd you say? See, all the diseases on that paper are now on you. And they were. And he screamed, take them off me. He repented too late. Brother Brandon said, I didn't put them on you. Could a man put something on? So you're talking about stupid hex, voodoo, tripe. Even anything the devil can do, don't you worry about. Just stay under the token. His brother then said, hold the token over this vindicated word. See? Now, Brother Branham knows that he can tell you. You don't need to ask God yourself. You don't need to fast and pray. You don't need to go anybody. You're sitting right where you can get your answer. He said, we have the answer to the devil. No problem. See? You see, when you read this according to the laws that I know are here because they are here, Alpha and Omega, vindication, himself, his ministry, what's it about? You can know what he's saying here. Not just read this thing casually and say, nice, 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 good, 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 good. What? What? Oh, hold it. No, no, no problem.
He's not going to change his style. You know, they claim the book of Hebrews was not written by Paul because the style was changed. It was written by Paul, and the style had to be changed because of the Hebrews. William Branham didn't have to change his style. He spoke to the last church age, which was one of glory and hope for the one who appeared, from the one who appeared to destruction later on. Because even the tares are bound, that is right. They go right into union at this message. And the garner being clean, and the bride brought together, the chaff scattered, hallelujah, the bride goes up. I want to be in that number. Then I want to speak on that tonight. The subject is going to be things that are to be. See? From what is. And now speaking last night on the rapture, so tonight. He's like putting the two together. I want to speak on this subject that I might tie together with last night's message. Now, there's going to be a rapture. We know that. That's in the future to be. Things that are to be. You're looking at it now. Or forget it. Those who looked at the Lamb of God and turned him down, forget it. The Nicodemus has said, we know this man has to be a God because he can't do the works that stop you with him. He got it. Joseph of Arimathea, Zacchaeus came down. The scribes and the Pharisee, why, we know where Moses came from. Who is this bird anyway? The other guy said, search the scripture. He said, nobody ever, prophet ever came out of Galilee. And yet, while back, the infants were killed because Christ was born in Bethlehem. Why didn't they trace it down? They ignored history. Today, Brother Branham was God's historian, and they ignore the history that Brother Branham brings out. You tell me that they'll not pay the price for it? Huh?
Oh, come on, brother. Don't you love the Lord? Aren't these messages fantastic? You just read them, and hey, man, they just spring out like like shooting stars on the seventh seal of the Roman candle. Now, Jesus is speaking here about how that he's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Same thing for us today, see? Now he was talking to the Jews. He said, you believed in God. Then if you believed in God, there is no reason not to believe in me. William Branham could say, you believe in Paul, don't you? Show me where Paul was vindicated above me. Paul was vindicated. He claimed it. I showed you the scripture for it. You know where the scripture is. Romans 15 is one. Other places. I get my concordance. My mind's not that good. I don't have to worry about my mind. I got a concordance. My wife worries about her. She doesn't have a concordance. No problem. I got a concordance. I can look it up. Believe in me. Now, listen. As you have believed in God, believe in me because I am the Son of God. As you have believed in Paul, who is a vindicated prophet, believe in me now because I'm a vindicated prophet.
Oh, brother, that don't play.
Now, in other words, I and my Father are one. In other words, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. They say, Brother Bill, you're sure distorting these. No, I'm not. I'm running parallels here. You already believe this. Now it's being rammed down their throat. I'm here with a vindicated ministry that you people talk about, the great signs and wonders of the time of the latter rain. It's here right now. God is doing it. He's using me. What do you think? You're looking at me, aren't you? What does it mean? He's seen me, seen the Father. You've seen Paul. You're looking at me. You've seen God. You're looking at me. Oh, I got it. Or have I? Yes. Oh, remember I used to love to read this? I'm going to love to read it again. Now I want you to know this is sure. Put this down. This is it. And you to listen to this tape. You're not sitting in the congregation. You might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just my voice. A voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it got short-circuited. But now, It's the will of my Father that I declare to do, declare, and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. And don't tell me the appearance hasn't taken place already. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. Oh, brother, they're not going to believe that. So William Branham got carried away like Dowie. He got too big for his britches. Now he's a prophet Elijah. Ha, 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 no prophet Elijah. If it was, bless God, he'd come to me and I'd know it. They're like old Father John, Bishop Johnson. Pentecostal lady wrote, she says, Bishop Johnson, should I pay my tithes to my church or should I send them to you?
Send them to me, bless God. They wouldn't know what to do with them.
They thought William Branham was a Bishop Johnson. Huh? Nothing wrong with Bishop Johnson. I'm not fussing at him. I'm just saying that's what he said. He's the same guy they sent money to. He's a great preacher. One day he said, bless God, don't send no more money. You got time to count it. I'll tell you when to send it. Hey, I can appreciate a guy like that. Isn't he? He's got brass. Some way believe he's got gold because he understood the Godhead, at least to a degree. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke to. Oh, brother, they'll love that, won't they? Well, bless God, God spoke to me one time too. How do you know? How can you prove it? I knew a man in Canada. I didn't know him. I knew his daughter. Her dad was a Danish sea captain. He lived in Western Canada. He was in a coma. He never knew one sentence in Danish, but he spoke Danish perfectly. Ha, that's God? Don't bet on it. Who can tell? I told you about Dr. Cliff, a linguist, knew 5 or 7 languages. We're down in Montreal. I think maybe Dr. Smith's church. I'm not sure. He heard 5 people speaking in tongues, 3 praising God gloriously and 3 cursing God horribly. Huh? What about it? What about it? You and I say phenomenon be gone. It'll be a long time gone. I've seen all the phenomena I want to see. I'm going to bank my hope on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, which endures as long as God endures. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not the creative word, God, Jehovah Elohim. It's just what I surrendered myself to that he spoke to. It isn't me. It wasn't the 7th messenger, angel. He says, oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It wasn't William Branham, his message. Read it that way. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, William Branham. It's God. The messenger was William Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger. William Branham was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. William Branham, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. See, oh boy, can that guy use words. Oh boy. And those poor people that believe him, man. 8 people made the ark, which is symbolic that 8 people were full of the Holy Ghost. Billions now living will die. Don't ever think millions now living will never die. That is a lie. Where the psalmist could say, I shall live and not die. These people who say, I shall live and not die are liars. The word's going to come back to haunt them when they suddenly scream, I'm going to die. I'm not going to live. Will that be the day they curse God? Well, what other day would be better? They'll be in the tribulation where men gnaw their tongues in pain and curse the God of heaven. I mean, in what better day? I'm talking in the sense, what day would be more appropriate? What day would it be except that day? I and my Father are one. My Father is dwelling in me. And when you see me doing, it's not me. It's my Father that dwells in me. He doeth works. Hey, Brother Branham said the same thing. Now, he's making himself the Son of God. Ah, man. He's making himself equal. Ah, man. How can you make yourself a Son of God, baptized the Holy Ghost, with what little tiddly wing junk you got? Where's your manifestation? I'd like to know these guys that try to fool with us. Try to get us off the word. Show me something. Come on. Poor old Laurie. Policier Laurie from India. He's dead now. But he came back bleeding on Moon Day. God descended and took him over. Yeah. And wherever he went, he could a little cloud could appear. Or it command fire to pop and dance around your feet. Now don't tell me it didn't, because the drugs were right in it. So people went to Canada. I think one was a Canadian. As they got to the Canadian border, the little cloud disappeared, so they came back. He never had "Thus saith the Lord," though. He didn't have what William Branham had. He came riding on his coattails. An imposter. Yeah. People fell for it. Right from this area. Dead now. Poor old man. Lovely, wonderful brother. I feel sorry for him. But he was just wide open for these things that manifest folly. Now he said, it's not I doing it. No, it's my Father dwelling in me. He doeth the works. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And if Brother Branham could say, you're looking at me, aren't you? Then what was God doing in William Branham? Huh? What was he doing? Fulfilling the complete work of reconciliation. Fulfilling every single work that came from the Scripture for the end time bride. And he stood right there and he said, this ministry is going to do it. Now, further, it was easy for those Jews who had been taught through generations to believe there was a great supernatural God. They still do, I think, most of them, some of them. But to think that God, to think that that God, number one, had come down, was manifesting himself through the person of his son, number two. There were two of them. One was inside the other. I want to ask you a question. When God was in Jesus, who was doing the eating and drinking? Who got hungry? Who got thirsty? God? Ha! When you give him food, a sacrifice, flame comes down. Soon. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't come to you for something to eat. Didn't he tell Israel that? If I was thirsty, I wouldn't come for a drink. My hands have made it all. Ask you a question. Did God get thirsty? Did he get hungry? Did he get tired? Did he go to sleep? My Bible said the God of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Who can keep with Israel in his care? Huh? Not so mysterious. People just don't want to believe. They want to be Jesus only. They don't want to hear Brother Branham. I am not oneness. I am not Trinity. I stand in between. Well, they're not going to believe that. All right? But to think that God had come down, was manifesting himself through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. One, God tabernacled in human flesh. Rather, God tabernacled in the body of flesh. See, number one, God, in body of flesh. That was a little too much for them. And William Branham saying, you're looking at me, aren't you, is much, too much, too much, too much, too much to anybody but us who believe in the paradox. Yeah. But he said, now as you have believed in God, believe also in me. As you have believed in Paul and his vindication and Moses, believe in me. Now he's telling you, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's repeating Jesus, of whom Paul said the pure words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which are healthy, somatic. And I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus' life was fixing to end here on earth. He had showed the people and proved to them that he was Jehovah manifested in flesh, by the great signs and wonders and the reference of the Bible that he referred to himself. And he proved that he was God manifested. Now he said, when you see my life ending, it's ending for a purpose. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus therefore is telling his disciples that his life is not ended in death. That's why Paul said, if we have life, hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. So what's Brother Branham telling us here? He is here to tell you that you are at the end of time. That he is proving that God is proving through him the very truth that Jesus said is already there in the Word. See? And is to be in this hour. In this end time. And he's getting the people ready. What is this man William Branham doing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And I'm going to show you exactly what I've always told you for all these years. It's in the book of Luke, the first chapter. About John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. William Branham. Be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That wasn't true with William Branham. And many of the children of Israel. They turned the Lord their God. And he'll go before the Lord God of Israel. In the spirit of power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the father children. That was done. But now it's turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Even the unknowing. Those that don't know what to do and how to think. They have an understanding. To the wisdom of the just, which is the omniscience and the work of God, to make ready the prepared people. What is he here for? The same thing as John the Baptist was. To get a bride ready to get out of here. See, the judgment is on. How much time? 5 minutes is more than enough. We can cut right here. So, I trust you're learning with me. How to sit down or to take a tape and to follow it. Because remember what I read here. Though William Branham is the figure that you're beholding, he has nothing to do with it. Just a voice. True. Just a voice. Let's rise and be dismissed. You're welcome for dinner. Lots of beef and goodies out there. And I trust there's trimmings with it. And I trust you enjoy it. Trust you've been blessed in this weekend. That if you haven't been blessed, you pray to God to give you some place where you can get blessed. Because since you won't get blessed here. Because this is how I preach all the time. I never altered. Brother Branham didn't alter his way. I'm not going to alter my way. I'm going to look and see why he said everything. Everything, brother, sister, has to do with the presence. God is here with his prophet. God was here with his prophet. He took his prophet. Doom is upon this age. But God is here. And the pillar of fire shall lead us into the millennium. And before he does that, he's here to raise the dead. And he will raise the dead. Change us by his glorified, wonderful word working in and through us. I'm not looking for great miracles and great ministries. I'm looking only to be led by God and his word. And know that same word one day is going to be dynamized and get me out of here. Remember, God doesn't pile a cat cell upon a dog cell. He's not going to pile anything but word upon us if we're worried. Let's face it, a cow can eat grass, but you and I can't. And yet the same nourishment in the grass would help us if we could get the nourishment. So what do? Let the cow eat it, and we eat the cow. Let me tell you flat, Brother Branham brought the word to us, and we eat the word that Brother Branham gave us, because we couldn't get it ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Now it's going to turn into flesh. Strength. Legitimate. Oh, hallelujah. For one time, no more illegitimacy. Oh, God. Adam died of old age. He didn't die of sickness and disease, let's face it. Unless something had to take him out of here. It wouldn't matter at that age. He felt good until the last minute. Who cares? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your grace and goodness to us. The time of fellowship, Lord, we have around this word, we can just point to the word and get away from ourselves and yet see ourselves as beneficiaries, which is exactly what Brother Branham is bringing out here. He's burying something. He's making alive something. He's reading the will. He's fulfilling the will here. Not that he himself is doing it, but Lord, you in him and by him and through him. And we rejoicing that thus saith the Lord. Which always was, is coming to fulfillment. Absolute, marvelous fulfillment. The gross, the whole amount of it. Not one jot or one tittle missing. Father, that's the word. Help me and help this people here to come to that place of that realization. Lord, we're not praying to be like the prophet. We just don't even claim to have that kind of realization. If you gave it, Lord, we'd be out of here, I'm sure. But, Father, we just want the realization that you want us to have and the depth of our soul living by it. Everything, all else is dead. We are now
into the resurrection which you promised. Life coming forth from death. The dust turning to immortality, even as a seed comes out of the ground bringing forth the blossom. And that seed, Lord, buried within our dust, must come forth and bring forth a body commensurate. Help us to ever remember that the things that you taught the prophet, emphasized and proved by the word of the living God. There is a resurrection. And we are part of it because he who's putting all things under the feet of my blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's now upon the throne of God, having left the mercy seat, making him shine forth his glory and power, just waiting for the day when you, Jehovah Elohim, are reincarnated in him. That great and wonderful day. Lord, we don't even need to that day wait for it before the songs of Zion fill our hearts and our minds and our voices. Lord, they're here right now if we only want to be one with it. God, whatever holds us back, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you mercilessly burn it with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Until in this annihilation, there's not even ashes, there's not even a memory. God, you know I don't want to go back to Egypt, Babylon with the leeks and the garlics and all those things. I want manna. And the more I live on this earth, the less I want even to eat of earthly food. It's lost the appetite down the road. Help us, Lord, to lose every appetite for everything, but clinging close to your word and clinging close to each other. And I hope that people heard me say it and understand I'm praying, clinging close to each other. Because outside of there is confusion and death and schisms and all those things that destroy a people. And they won't even be knowing that it's going on and knowing who and what's doing it. Because they're too busy moving apart. Keep us, Lord, together by your word, by your spirit in the word, bringing us humility of minds and hearts and everything, Lord, where we see Jesus. We see him who Brother Branham saw as he cleared his throat and he said, oh, that look, it could create worlds. It could destroy worlds, yet so full of love and compassion and tenderness, melt worlds. And we're in the presence of him whom the heavens and earth flee. No place for them, nothing in God's grand scale, no place to hide. They've got to be really reborn, Lord. Help us, Lord, to quit orbiting around as we are, to get right to the place where the rebirth is coming forth and we know it. This is it. On Christ the solid rock word I stand, all of the ground sinking sand. Building the temple of the Holy Ghost our lives upon it. Knowing that whatever storms come, it isn't going to hurt anything. Let them come because you're builded upon the rock of revelation of Christ. Thank you for healing the sick amongst us this day, Lord. I believe, and I can't help believe, Lord, that you are in it. That you healed the people, Lord. It wasn't anything I did, just the voice, hopefully. Great things have happened, Lord, within the bodies, but above all within the mind, the soul, and the spirit. And unto thee we give the eternal glory in the name of Jesus Christ, word without end, even eternal. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.